It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Dow people are about to swap out some of the players in their industrial average.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's word that the folks who engineer the most quoted stock index are giving it an overhaul. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is an index of 30 hand-picked companies. The way it works is the higher the share price, the more influence it has on the index. The feeling at Dow Jones & Company is that Alcoa, Hewlett-Packard, and Bank of America are somehow laggards and need to go on the way into the industrial average. Stocks of companies that don't seem very industrial at all. Visa, Nike, and the grandee of Wall Street, Goldman Sachs. Julie Neiman joins us from the Heartland every Tuesday. She's the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hello, Julie.
Morning, David.
And here I was thinking that the Dow Jones Industrial Average was a law of physics. It was immutable. You don't mess with it. I guess I was wrong.
Well, it's a bunch of guys in the back room who basically decide, what are we going to put into the Dow now? It's been the same way for 100 years, and they're not about to change the process, but it certainly is less than scientific.
Every once in a while, they do tinker with it, and this time out comes, let's see, Hewlett-Packard has not been doing so well. Alcoa, the aluminum company, and there was another one that's Bank of America.
And you're looking at three stocks that have all run upon hard times here. Bank of America had a near-death experience. Hewlett-Packard, same thing. Alcoa's in an industry that is basically just slogging along. So they're substituting with three companies that are doing very well, getting Nike, Goldman Sachs, and Visa. These are also three high-price companies, so you're going to get a nice bump in the Dow here as everybody rushes in and starts buying these particular stocks.
But in a sense, Julie, it makes it absurd when, let's say, 3 months from now, if the Dow is up, to say, oh, look at the Dow. It must mean something about the economy. They've, in fact, just tinkered with the index is all they've done.
Well, the real question is, what do you want to measure? If you take the Dow, you're measuring market emotion. If you really want an index as to what the health of the global economy is, it's going to be the Russell Global Index. That's 98% of everything that's traded worldwide, and nobody cares. But a substitute for that, we'll go with the S&P 500. That's going to give you about 60% of the health of the United States.
And again, we're just talking stock indexes here. If you want to know about the state of the world, there are other things you need to watch. Julie Neiman, Smith Moore & Company, thank you so much.
You bet.
After decades of declining membership and waning political clout, the country's biggest group of labor unions is branching out. At its annual convention in Los Angeles this week, AFL-CIO leaders voted to open the doors to millions of non-union workers. Jim Burris reports.
Did you get the invitation? The one that reads, the AFL-CIO hereby invites every worker in the United States to join the labor movement? That's right. The Federation has opened the representation door for the first time to millions of non-union workers. But there is a catch. Collective bargaining isn't a part of the New Deal. So will this diet version give labor back its clout? Barry Bluestone is an economist at Northeastern University.
Well, certainly if they can organize enough workers outside of collective bargaining, they will increase their influence because this is also a political voting bloc.
That's good for the labor movement. Not so great for struggling workers, says Cornell's Kate Bronfenbrenner.
These workers all want collective bargaining, all need collective bargaining.
Without the power of collective bargaining to push companies, It's not clear how many workers will take up the labor group on its invitation. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
With Syria now agreeing to a Russian concept of giving up control of its chemical weapons arsenal, chances of a U.S. military strike are receding for the moment. The price of oil is falling rapidly this morning, with the Texas benchmark price falling 2.5% to $106.74 a barrel.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The physicist Stephen Hawking has a new book out today, a memoir from the man famous for putting some of the great questions about the universe into terms mere mortals can understand. Rowan Moore Garrity has more.
Hawking's A Brief History of Time has sold 10 million copies, but the material is hard to digest. As pop science goes,
not only is it the most sold book of all time, it's the most unread book of all time.
That's Michael Turner, a cosmologist at the University of Chicago.
Questions that he addresses in his work are ones that just capture anyone's imagination, like the arrow of time.
Or baby universes. Dave Mosher is projects editor at Popular Science. He compares Hawking's fame to Einstein's or Newton's.
Even though they're unlikely in terms of celebrity status, they stick around because they have described an essential part of what it means to be human.
Almost completely paralyzed, Hawking has to write through a computer at about one word a minute. Hawking's brand, Mosher says, bold, difficult ideas paired with an incredible physical challenge. In Los Angeles, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And that digital dread known as FOMO, fear of missing out, in Flight Edition. A survey by Honeywell shows that airline passengers are so desperate for airborne internet that they would trade other amenities. Honeywell did the survey, and it sells Wi-Fi equipment to airlines, so there's that. But it found that most people would be willing to get a seat that did not recline in exchange for Wi-Fi. 42% would swap the grim little snacks they give you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.